For some of you that may not know Kay and David Douglas, it's been probably 6-7 years since they've attended service. David Douglas has Alzheimer's, and now he is bedridden. And we used to take a fruit basket to them, but Kay would say, "We don't need it. Give it to someone else." They are very much self-supporting in the sense that they are determined to do things on their own. And they are always looking out for others who may benefit more from it. And so in lieu of that, that's the reason we do the cards for them. And instead of a fruit basket, we give them cards. And it really brightens up their day. David now cannot get out of bed. And a lot of times, the last time we were there, conversations are very slim with David. He has done remarkably well for a long time, but the disease now is getting a firm grasp on him. So the cards are a tremendous lift for them, and especially for Kay. So I wanted to explain that a little bit more. We're moving. Well, not just Vicki and I, everybody. We're all going to be moving. Nobody told you? Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away." I told you were moving. Babylon has fallen. The punishment that would come upon Rome was prophesied. Sometime after that, the great dragon was bound for 1,000 years. And many debate the meaning of the binding and of the 1,000-year reign of the martyred, but John does not give us a whole lot of detail there. And after the dragon is released, he again makes one last effort to fight against God's people, us Christians. At that end, and that is the end of time, not the end of Rome. But as the pressure mounts against Christians, God steps in what we come to know as the judgment day. The Bible speaks of fire from heaven and that Satan is thrown into the lake of fire for eternity. Now, for the revelation of Jesus Christ to John, it could have stopped right there. And that would have been great. It would have been a great ending to a great vision. But Jesus unfolds judgment day for John. Well, let's back up into the previous chapter for just a moment. Chapter 20 and verses 11 through 15. And John writes these things that he saw. He said, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who is seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up their dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown in the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. With the destruction of the earth and sky as we know it comes that great day of judgment for all mankind. And for a child of God, this day should not be filled with dread, but one in which we are excited to be participants. And yet, because we all struggle at times with sin, many Christians fear this day that John sees. But the only ones who really have a need to fear this great day are those who are not written in the book of life. We know about that book. We talked about it in a sermon here a couple of weeks ago. And we have read that our names are written in that book of life. And so this is not a day that we need to fear. Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that he longs for and he loves the day of Jesus coming back. For it will be that day that we will inherit that crown of righteousness. So those who are saved, we need to let us tell Jesus about our new home. I'd like to go back in history in time a little bit from the time that John wrote this, about 60 years. It was at that time that Jesus was having the Last Supper with his disciples. Just previous to that in John 13, or just previous in John chapter 13, Jesus had washed the disciples' feet. And now there was some teaching that Jesus still needed to do for his disciples. At this point, Judas had left the group. He had to go and make plans on how to betray Jesus. The teaching that Jesus would deliver to them is that he was leaving to go to the Father, but he was going to go ahead and return. It is here where we come to John 14 in the first three verses. Verses that for some of us are very familiar. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, but believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you that I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be." The words are that of a groom that goes and prepares a place for his bride. The time that this will all take has not been established yet, for God is the only one that knows. But the bride, during this time, is making herself ready. Ready to receive her groom and to go to her new home when he would come back for her. And it is the same language that Jesus uses here in John 14 that we find at the end of the book of Revelation. The battle of the beast is dunning. The binding, the releasing, and the eternal destruction and punishment of the dragon is done. The day of judgment for all humanity is done. Heaven and earth have passed away. And we get a new picture of a new home for those whose name is written in the book of life. Now we'll return to Revelation 21 in verses 1 through 4. And we look at here and we're not seeing a physical Jerusalem on a physical earth. We're told that the first heaven or the sky itself and the planet that we live on, that earth, are gone. We are told that they will be burned up in a fervent heat. This is a spiritual world in which God opens up for us and the place that Jesus went to prepare. I'd like to tell you about our new home that we will one day see with the eyes of faith after our eyes have closed. What makes our eternal home so great is that God and us will live together. Down in verse 22, Revelation 21, John writes here, "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb." When we think of a temple, we think of a physical building. We think of a place that we go and worship. But in our new home, there will be no need to have a temple because God will be dwelling with us. He will be there for us to see right there. We don't see this type of intimacy anywhere in human time. And maybe the closest that we may be able to come with that would be Adam and Eve and God in the garden before the fall. But John sees the whole city. The new Jerusalem come down. And in that new Jerusalem, there is no temple. But for that matter, there's going to be very few things that there are no more of. In verse 4, Revelation 21, it tells us that he's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes, that we're not going to be mourning or crying, that we're not going to be any more pain, that there's not going to be any more death. All those former things have passed away. Then he tells us in verse 23 that the city is in no need of a sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. How can a true Christian not be excited about a place like this? No pain, no suffering, no crying, no death. All those things are gone. All of it. Joy replaces the pain and the tears. We won't need to worry about the sun coming up in the morning because it's always going to be there. The glory of God will shine. That light will radiate all the time. Now, if we were facing the trials of Christians in the day of John and their persecution was atrocious, this would be a tremendous ending of a letter that they probably have ever read. But this isn't a fairy tale ending, because this is our ending. This is our eternal home. John sees more of our new home, and he takes us through a lot of biblical accounts. The first five verses of Revelation 22, John writes here, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree or for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. And they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." That tree started in the Garden of Eden. And it will once again be available with its continually growing fruit. We will be drinking from that river of life. You know, every Wednesday night after the devotional, every Sunday morning after worship service and Sunday evening, an invitation is offered. And as a church, we desire to support, to help, to strengthen, and keep one another spiritually strong. And there are times when we have to face sin. And there are some times when sin is so public that we need to share our repentance with our church family. Because, in a way, sometimes those sins hurt the family. The invitations are offered because love freely flows. I'd like to read one more invitation, Revelation 22 in verses 14 through 17. John writes here, "Blessed are those who washed their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they might enter in by the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral, the murderers and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehoods. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The spirit of the bride says, 'Come.' And let the one who hear say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires to take of the water of life without price come." It's one word, but it is said with the depth of love. It's just four small English letters, but there is nothing little about what is being offered. The question that we need to ask is, will we come to the fountain free? Will we come to our God who is victorious and who wants to dwell in us? Blessed are those who wash their robes so they might have the right to eat of the tree of life. Our robes are washed when we go into that watery grave. Our robes come out clean and bright and white. When we make that choice in life, we gain the right to the tree of life. Question we need to ask ourselves: are we wearing a robe that has been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Jesus died that we might live. And He lives that our death would only be a stop on our way home. When I started this and I said, "We are moving," I really mean that. We are moving. I know some of us are probably thinking, "Well, I've still got 20 years of mortgage, and I hope this comes quicker than before." But all silliness aside, we are moving. Whether we are homeless or whether we live in a mansion when our robes have been whitened by the glory of God and the blood of the Lamb, we will have a home that far exceeds anything that anyone could even imagine. You know, when you see pictures of the Biltmore House, or you've gone to the Biltmore House and you see all the glory, that is just a shack in heaven. That's just a shack. Nothing will compare to the home that we are moving to. Nothing. Are you ready to move? I hope you are. But if your name is not written in the book of life, you're going to dread moving day. You're going to dread moving day. And I pray that you will not allow that to happen. To make the decision tonight to respond to the gospel. And through baptism, you can get on that book of life. The name written there. And it will be permanent. Of course, yes, you can get it erased, but well, you have to do something really bad. You have to curse the Holy Spirit and turn completely away. But everything else is forgivable. And God will forgive our sins. So if you need to respond to the invitation this evening, I pray that you'll make that choice. If it's something you need our prayers for, we still invite you to come because we love you. If anyone has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.